Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
We're finally seeing some relief at the moment. We're finally going to see our first interest rate cut here in a couple of weeks, you know, because unfortunately, because the American government hasn't been playing responsible, and neither has the Federal Reserve Bank. All the reserve banks around the rest of the world have had to try to play responsible. So we've been dealing with the massive interest rate hikes over here to help correct the problem in the United States, and we're not the only ones.
Yeah, and it ain't going to correct anytime soon. This isn't a head cold. This is something that's gone systemic.
We're out of time, but I got an essay
that from a guy named Bill Fleckenstein. What would you give to have a name like Fleckenstein? That's just one of those. Something good's going to happen for you in life when your name's Fleckenstein. Kind of has to. Now Greenspan doesn't like bailouts? Yeah. We'll save it for another day. And you've got a great show on the way. So thanks for the hour, John.
No worries, man.
And a very happy weekend to you.
Ah, you too, man. You too. And, we'll see you on the other side. We got some Deep Purple today because you and I just happened to be chatting about them earlier.
Yeah, and the fact that you did not send me Godzilla or My Woman from Tokyo.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
I really appreciate
it. I did have to do Highway Star, though.
Yeah, but I appreciate getting off the beaten path. Truly, I do. And you're a man who lives off the beaten path, so.
So are all
hell, it ain't nothing. With John Fox, it ain't nothing but underbrush. There ain't no path. Right?
I'll wear that.
Take that as a compliment, my brother.
I do.
We'll see you on the other side. And in the meantime, here's the late, great Lowell George reminding you to...
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Well, put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard. Foxed up here for a Thursday night or Friday morning or Friday afternoon, as it is here, depending on where you live on this beautiful blue marble, such that it still is. And we're going to close out the week with a bit of some old rock and roll, and I got more bad news when it comes to genetic modification. Not like there's ever any good news, only if we could get this shit banned. I'm not sure. This Gail sent this to me, and this is just, like, insane stuff. I was already talking about recently that we're looking at pesticides could be responsible for the bee colony collapse. And, you know, there's constant questions about our use of pesticides, and now we have this just absolutely horrible thing of, genetically modified foods. I don't know if you may have heard about this outbreak of a thing called Morgellons disease, and also references to agrobacterium. I mean, this is just getting freaky, people. This is just getting to be just nuts. Blah. And I'm just trying to decide whether I want to do music first or get into this first. But we'll do this first. And Bob's also seeing if he can get a video happening for us, because all we need is the audio. But we're waiting to see if we can do that, because I got something for you. But anyway, from globalresearch.ca, this stuff freaks me out. Preliminary findings suggest a link between Morgellons, or it's Morgellons disease, and agrobacterium, a soil bacterium extensively manipulated and used in making GM crops. Has genetic engineering created a new epidemic? So, this, this is just, this makes my skin crawl. The Centers for Disease Control in the United States announced the launch of an investigation on Morgellons disease in January 2008 after receiving thousands of complaints from people with this bewildering condition, which is described as follows. Persons who suffer from this unexplained skin condition report a range of cutaneous skin symptoms, including crawling, biting, and stinging sensations, granules, threads, fibers, or black speck-like materials on or beneath the skin, and or skin lesions, as in rashes and sores. In addition to skin manifestations, some sufferers also report fatigue, mental confusion, short-term memory loss, joint pain, and changes in vision. Morgellons disease first became known in 2001 when Mary Lateo created a website describing the illness in her young son, which she named after a 17th century medical study in France describing similar symptoms. Until then, people with Morgellons disease have been diagnosed as cases of delusional peristosis, in which the symptoms are deemed entirely imaginary and lesions allegedly due to self-inflicted wounds. You ain't sick, you're just playing, you're just damaging yourself. Indeed, the debate over Morgellons disease has continued in the pages of medical and scientific journals right up to the CDC's announcement. Dr. Michael Pearson, principal investigator for the CDC, said that the primary goals of the study are to learn more about who may be affected with this condition, the symptoms they experience, and to look for clues about factors that might contribute to the condition, adding that the condition is complex and may be due to multiple factors. In response to questions from journalists at the CDC press conference, Pearson said, "We are aware that many patients have suffered from this condition, and I can tell you that here at the CDC, we've really been seeing an increasing number of these reports over the past year or so." The CDC's investigation is to be carried out in conjunction with Kaiser Permanente's Northern California Division of Research and the U.S. Armed Forces Institute of Pathology. Dr. Joe Selby, director of the Kaiser Permanente's Northern California Research, California Division of Research, pardon me, said The study would proceed with in three stages. The first stage, they will identify all members who may have seen a Kaiser Permanente physician with symptoms suggestive of this condition at any point during the 18 months between July 1st, 2006 and December 31st, 2007, and determine whether they meet eligibility criteria for the study. In stage two, all eligible members will be invited to complete a comprehensive web-based blah, 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 blah. What finally prompted the CDC to investigate the disease? The Magellan's Research Foundation was set up in 2002 in honor of Mary Lateo, the foundation's executive director. It publicizes the plight of patients with similar conditions and operates a registry of affected families. The foundation also funds scientific research. It has a medical advisory board of seven with MD degree and two with nursing degrees. In addition, it has a board of nursing, blah, 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 blah. Now, where this gets really creepy, I'm trying to find it here, is they're finding that this bacterium is like jumping from person to person and changing human DNA. Are you hearing me? It's changing people's DNA. It's jumping from its original form. This is creepy stuff. Now, we're going to take a little break from this. I'm going to scan through this, an enormous article, and I want to find a couple of sections here. So I figure what we should do is actually go and play one of the tracks. Bob and I were discussing some music production for the network earlier today, and you know, we went off on a tangent and somehow we ended up talking about Deep Purple. So I figured Deep Purple would be just perfect for today. And, you know, and I have gone off slightly off the beaten path here. And I only picked one pseudo-cliche, but we won't go there first. I reckon we should go here first. I thought this was, when I listened to this earlier today, I was just like, what a great song. I don't remember what album this is off or when it was, but this is just a great track. When a Blind Man Cries. Just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Lots of space. So Deep Purple, When a Blind Man Cries. Roll it, Bob.
If you're leaving, close the door. I'm not expecting people
And one of my favorite drummers of all time. What a great southpaw, Ian Pace. He's a monster. Okay, getting back to this piece here. We'll break this up because it's kind of heavy stuff, and I'll jump around a little bit because there's, you know, kind of heaps of technical data in here. And so they have a section here, the Acrobacterium connection. A professor of molecular biology and cell biology at Stony Brook University in New York, Vitaly Sitovsky, is a world authority on genetic modifications of cells by Acrobacterium, a soil bacterium causing crown gall disease in plants that has been widely used in creating genetically modified plants since the 1980s because of its ability to transfer a piece of its genetic material to the T-DNA on its tumor-inducing plasmid to the point genome. See later details. Well, we won't worry about that. They also analyzed patients for Acrobacterium DNA. Skin biopsy samples from Morgellons patients were subjected to high-stringency polymerase chain reaction tests, PCR tests, for genes encoded by the Acrobacterium chromosome and also for Acrobacterium virulence genes and T-DNA and its T-plasmid. They found that all Morgellons patients screened to date have tested positive for the presence of Acrobacterium, whereas its microorganism has not been detected in any of the samples derived from the control healthy individuals. The preliminary conclusion is that Acrobacterium may be involved in the etiology and or progression of Morgellons disease. Skipping down a little further, Acrobacterium and the genetic engineering connection. Acrobacterium not only infects human and other animal cells, it also transfers genes into them. It was Sunny Professor Sitovsky who and his team that made the discovery some years ago. Until then, the genetic engineering community had assumed that Acrobacterium did not infect animal cells and certainly would not transfer genes to them. They just assumed. You know what happens when you assume. Acrobacterium was found to transfer DNA to the chromosomes of human cells. In stably transformed HeLa cells, the integration occurred at the right border of the T-DNA, exactly as would happen when it is being transferred to a plant cell genome, suggesting that Acrobacterium transforms human cells by a mechanism similar to that involved in transforming plant cells. Human cancer cells, neurons, and kidney cells were also transformed with Acrobacterium T-DNA. Commenting on this research in 2001, Joe Cummins had warned of hazards to laboratory and farm workers. You getting worried yet? Getting freaked out yet? Holy crap! They're rewriting our DNA! This is just so heavy, I'm gonna break it up in bits. Let's go on to another song, Bob, and we'll come back. So you can digest that. We have this Acrobacterium that is actually able to change human DNA like it has been doing to plants for almost 30 years. Freaked out yet? Or 20, at least. This is madness. But anyway, we're going to move on. We'll go with the closest thing that I've got to a cliche, Bob, in this playlist. Just because this is fun. But I got another one of those, a little bit more kind of open, airy ones to finish it out with. But this just rocks. There's I reckon this was the first thrash song in history. But without further ado, Deep Purple and Highway Star.
Two.
Thank you.
that is just one of the most massive noises. I sometimes just forget what an absolutely amazing shredder Richie Blackmore can be, you know. Oh, wow. And while we were listening to that, Gene sends me a link and goes, holy crap, this stuff has been going on for a long time. Yep. It's been going on for a long time. He sent me a link from Natural News, which we'll go to in a minute, but I want to go back and get to this next section here. Still at this globalresearch.ca story. Let's see. The association of Morgellons disease with dirt and soil where Acrobacterium lives, the widespread use of Acrobacterium in genetic engineering of plants, and the ability of Acrobacterium to infect human cells all point toward a possible role of genetic engineering in the etiology of Morgellons disease via Acrobacterium. Acrobacterium persists in transgenic plants and is a vehicle for gene escape. How creepy does that sound? Gene escape. And I'm not talking about our news ninja getting out of his house. By the late 1990s, the Acrobacterium vector system became very widely used, and many GM crops created were commercially released. Scientists at the Kinsley Research and Development Center in Dublin, Ireland, and the Scottish Group Research Institute in Dundee, Scotland, were concerned that the inserted genes in plants would spread to wild populations by cross-pollination or by horizontal gene transfer to unrelated species, which was by then well documented in scientific literature. Oh, but that was probably considered elitist, wasn't it? Bastards. I only laugh because it just freaks me out so much. It's a nervous reaction, you understand. They considered it imperative to address the risk posed in using Acrobacterium as a tool in genetic engineering. Given its ability to transfer genes to plants, the transformation procedure involves inoculating the cells or tissue explants with Acrobacterium and co-cultivation of the plant cells and bacterium for a short period, followed by the elimination of bacterium with antibiotics. However, if all the bacteria were not eliminated then, release of these plants may also result in release of Acrobacterium with foreign genes, which will serve as a vehicle for further gene escape, at least to other Agrobacterium strains naturally present in the soil. Although various antibiotics have been used to eliminate Agrobacterium following transformation, the researchers stated that very few authors actually test to ensure that the antibiotics succeed. Again, if you're not in the Head On Radio Network chat room, you're just missing some of the best part of the process. Gene just changes his name to Gene Wants to Escape. I am so easily distracted. Look, a shiny thing. Let's see. But look at this. It's the classic thing of, you know, it's like the drug lore. You know, it's not working, so we'll do more of it and not actually see if it works. Here, it's like, oh, you gave me antibiotics. Did they work? Well, he didn't check. Bloody hell. The difficulty is compounded because the bacterium can remain latent within the plant tissue. So putting transgenic plant material into culture medium without antibiotics and finding no Acrobacterium is no guarantee that the transgenic plant is free of the bacterium, as was often assumed. One of the freaky things that's with this, and I'm looking for this, Gail was checking this all out last night, that it was farm workers and nurses that were having this jump to them and changing their DNA. So unfortunately, this is like, this is, you know, the normal protections that a healthcare worker would use to protect themselves while treating sick people are not going to be able to help them in this situation if further study continues to confirm this stuff. Now, let's check out what Gene sent us here. And from naturalnews.com, Again, Morgellons disease may be linked to genetically modified food. The Centers for Disease, here they say, what is Morgellons disease? And it looks like this is rehashing a lot of the same stuff. In New Science magazine, September 15th to the 21st edition, Daniel Elkin described a patient who for years has been finding tiny blue, red, and black fibers growing from intensely itchy lesions on his skin. These fibers appear like pliable plastic and can be several millimeters long. Some appear in a zigzag pattern. These fibers can be as fine as spider silk, yet they are strong enough to distend the skin when pulled. A May 18, 2006 story carried by KGW, a local news channel in Oregon, recounts the story of a family practice doctor experiencing the disease. She reported feeling like bugs were crawling under her skin. If I fully tell people what has gone on with me medically, they think they're in the Twilight Zone, said Dr. Drotar, who woke up with a feeling that fluid was flowing just below her skin. When black or blue hair-like fibers protruded from her skin, she reported thinking that she had been exposed to asbestos. I thought I was having asbestos fibers come out of my skin. I was pulling long, thin, small hair-like fibers that were extremely sharp that could literally pierce through my fingernail. This is bizarre stuff! According to Dr. Jatar, these symptoms were accompanied by severe depression, chronic fatigue, and a weakened immune system. This debilitating condition forced her to give up her medical practice. Effective treatment for Morgellons disease has been elusive. Doctors have claimed that this type of disease must be caused by a parasite, but even the strongest antiparasitic medications have not helped. In the past, psychologists have insisted that this was a new version of delusional parasitosis, a form of psychosis in which sufferers hold a delusional belief that they are infected by parasites. You know, I this stuff freaks me out, because this doesn't just happen to people with really weird things going on with them. This happens to regular people. This has happened to people that are very close to me, where they go to doctors with symptoms of things and even knowledge of things, and they're just like going, well, you know, we gave you an antibiotic script. That didn't help. Oh, here, we'll just give you some stronger antibiotics. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, here's some stronger antibiotics. Let's just make you completely resistant to frickin' everything. And ELO says she recalls seeing a story about folks suffering from this same condition after Hurricane Katrina all along the Gulf Coast. That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, and it's Karina if you're the first lady or the first Stepford wife. And this article goes into, and this is all from the same statements, about the Morgellons and GM link. I mean, this is insanity. And, you know, I was having a conversation with a gentleman involved in building a house next door. And we actually got talking about the GM thing. And this guy actually used to run a small farm. And he goes, oh, it's all just crossbreeding. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going, mate, it's not crossbreeding. It's not hybriding. This is injecting foreign DNA into cells to create new organisms through manipulations that nature could not do. But then are we now facing a situation where it's like the genie's out of the bloody bottle? Again, it's this, you know, where it's a situation where, you know, back in the 80s when Bush and Quayle were both, you know, like pushing about this crap and sucking up to Monsanto, while they let Monsanto do their own research for these things. And those who are in the scientific community outside of those looking to profiteer off these things are saying, hey, we really don't know what the long-term effects of this are going to be. And, you know, if we don't seriously look at this, we could be setting ourselves up for just a catastrophe. And so now we have this agrobacterium which has been manipulated, genetically modified to be used as a vehicle to change other plants. And we have their genes escaping. I mean, this is bizarre. This just sounds like X-Files shit. And you have these people having these plasticky, fibrous things coming in their skin. And, you know, I could see doctors sitting there, you know, after one of these people, you know, go, oh, it's all in your head. And after they walk out, sitting there going, wonder what drugs they're trying to get off. Do you reckon? Some poor Mexican farm worker who ends up going to the doctor saying, doctor, I'm going crazy. It's like there's stuff underneath my skin and I'm finding these things. And the racist southern doctor just says, it's all in your head, son. Can't be from anything from the environment in which you live in. You must be on drugs, or you must be insane. No! You might actually be sick. You might actually have been genetically modified without your consent. What? Are they going to charge you copyright infringement fees because you now have their genetic components in your own body? How far is this going to go in this ass backward situation that we find ourselves in? I feel the need for more music, Bob. Because this is just too creepy for words. I'll finish up this, and then I actually have some slightly more positive news. A guy who's becoming one of my favorite Australians is doing a good thing. But anyway, we got one left. And this is a great song. I really enjoyed listening to this one before. Our last one today from Deep Purple. I'm enjoying this even more than I was expecting. I hope the rest of you are. The chat room was quite going off during Highway Star there. But this is a great track. Strange Kind of Woman. And this is later stuff. I'm not exactly sure who's even singing on this one. But it doesn't really matter. It's great. So without further ado, Deep Purple and Strange Kind of Woman. Roll it, Bob.
Yeah.
matter how you cut it, it's just classic. And while we were listening to that, Gail emailed me and said, no, you got it wrong. It was actually teachers and nurses that were really suffering this, and it was three times more nurses than teachers. This is just unbelievably freaky stuff. I just don't, I don't know what to say about it, except for, you know, here we go, reaping what we sowed. Or reaping what others forced us to sow because they didn't give us a choice. So no, you will have our trademark genetically modified crap. And we don't care what it turns you into. It's just insane. Okay, where's my happier story? Okay. I've been kind of talking a little bit lately about, you know, I'm not a huge sports fanatic as far as professional sports go, but I do like my rugby league and, you know, love my bunnies. And, but I got to say, someone who I'm becoming a real big fan of is Cadell Evans. Now, Cadell Evans is our, just genius cyclist who has come in second in the Tour de France the past 2 years. And I am of the opinion that if he hadn't had the crash that did his knee on about day four, I think he really could have won it this year. But hey, there is next year, and he's a hell of a competitor. But all through the Tour de France, he had a Freed Tibet banner on his bike, right? Now, when we talked about the lead up to the Olympics and the sham that this has all been, you know, with, you know, basically just kind of free reign for China and all that, I did understand the unbelievably difficult position that these athletes are put in, where, you know, they don't choose where the games are, you know, and they have invested a hell of a lot of their life, whether it's something that excites you or not. They have invested a hell of a lot of their lives into this once-in-four-year event. And, you know, I can see it being difficult. And I know it was really hard for Cadell, but Cadell wanted to go and represent his country and go and do the time trials and whatnot. And he didn't fare as well as we'd hoped, but, hey, you know, he's recovering from the wreck in the Tour de France only a couple weeks ago. But, you know, he may have found it to be a situation where, you know, to make a stand actually at the games may have brought too many problems on him, the rest of the team, and you know, the athletes. But he's got a plan. Check it out. From the City Morning Herald today. Cadell Evans to meet Tibetan team. See? Take your star power and use it to shine a light on what's going on. Cadell Evans, the only Australian athlete to speak out over Tibet, has called the Beijing Olympics the made-for-TV games and has also taken a swipe at the Chinese government. The government has nothing to do with the people, said the two-time Tour de France runner-up who completed the men's road race and time trial at the Beijing Games. The government control the country, and people don't seem to get a say in anything. Evans said his visit to China had helped him firm his views on Tibet. And today he will make his next symbolic step to support their cause when he and his wife, Chiara, with whom he already sponsors a Tibetan child, travel to Zurich to meet the exiled Tibetan Olympic team. Evans, who was 15th in the Olympic road race and 5th in the time trial on the Great Wall Circuit, has been planning the Zurich trip since leaving Beijing for Europe late last week. His position on the Tibetan issue has been widely publicized, but his latest comments on the eve of his trip to Switzerland are his most outspoken and most emotionally driven. Evans said he enjoyed the athletes' Olympic village and praised the Chinese people in the games volunteers. But when asked if there was anything about them that helped to reinforce his views on China, he said, "It looked like a bit of a made-for-TV games for me." Evans said he was struck on the flight back to Europe by reading analysis and views on China and the games in Western press and concurred with many of the views. "It was funny getting on the plane and reading the American and English newspapers," he said. "Obviously, a lot of people saw a similar thing about the games in their reports on the structures, and even just the road race, and how, I don't know if it's true, but how they had tickets for the time trial, and the government bought all the tickets for the trial so no one could get there. They were worried about Cadell Evans making a stand, so the Chinese government went and bought up all the public tickets for his event so that none of the local Chinese people could be there in case he tried to do something. Now, I don't know if you've heard, there are these two elderly women who lost their homes in the build-up to the games, you know, had their homes destroyed and taken away because the venue was going to be put there, and they wanted to go protest in one of those protest areas, and they actually applied. Not only were they turned down, but the Chinese government decided that they were now going to be sentenced to 1 year in a labor camp for reprogramming and re-education. I would not want to be an athlete in this situation. They end up being pawns politically, and they end up being pawns commercially, and it's really, really disgusting. But things, talking about the tickets being bought up, he said, things like that are not quite what we are used to in Australia, America, or in Europe. Evans said by visiting the Tibetan Olympic team in Zurich, he hopes to get an insight from Tibetans on issues that have continued since Tibet fell under Chinese control in 1951. I'm looking forward to meeting some Tibetan people and seeing what they feel about this whole thing and how they feel about Beijing from their point of view, he said. Evans revealed his views on China were initially impacted by his mother, Helen Cox, first-hand experience in receiving censored letters from a friend who lived here years ago. And for a contemporary insight, he has also drawn on an Australian friend who lives there. My mother has a very good friend who has lived in China years ago, Evan said. 10 or 15 years ago, she used to get letters. They were censored, personal letters. It's frightening. I also have a good friend who lives there now and who says how things are now in China. During his stay in Beijing, Evans said he had no contact with the Free Tibet movement or with any of the protesters in Beijing, including Australian Nicole Rycroft, who was arrested after she and four others unfurled a Free Tibet banner on the CCTV building in Beijing. I don't know if you saw that either. That was brilliant. Australians and a couple of Chinese actually climbed up on the Chinese National Broadcaster's building and were able to unfurl a Free Tibet banner. And it did make it the news here, and I know it made it into Europe. Whether it made it to the States or not, I don't know. He neither took with him to Beijing any of his custom-made Free Tibet T-shirts that are on sale on his website via link to the Free Tibet movement. I was not there to cause trouble, he said. I didn't bring any of those. I especially didn't pack them. I had them sitting there, then I thought, oh, no, I better not take those. So, you know, it's not an easy situation, but... You know, I think the guy's a hell of a performer on a bicycle. I happen to have a lot of respect for cyclists. All the drug crap and all that aside, they work really, really hard to clean up the sport, I do believe. And if you look at how many people got tossed out in the Tour de France this year, and without question, and last year, you can see that they're really on top of it. And to make those moves, you have to just be a little bit kind of stupid. But then again, money and glory drives people to do stupid things. But good on Cadell. And hopefully he'll come back and actually take that Tour de France title, because I think it's an incredible event, personally. Now, I had another happy story. Where is it? There it is. Another one that Gail sent me. This is great. Eco cabs. Free eco cabs. this is from triplepundit.com. Imagine you're drunk, toasted. No way you're driving home. Too far to walk, no cash in your pocket, and the ATM card's back at home. Then you see it. This little green bug of a vehicle pulling up to you, and someone says, "Need a lift? We don't charge." Who are these people and what do they want, you think? Or did they say that out loud? They proceed to tell you that they're from EcoCabs, a company that is providing these emissions-free cabs for free, courtesy of the sponsor enveloping their vehicle, 7-Up in this particular case. And there's a picture of a bunch of them here in smoothies and some other stuff. They're bicycle-powered cabs. On the ride home, you learn that your driver who is pedaling you home is not, in fact, bionic, but has the assistance of an electronic motor to make carrying your sack of a body home easier. Wait, did they just call you a sack? This is really well written. I like this. Yes, You're in Ireland, after all. Cheerfully delivered sarcasm is a part of the bargain. Ego Cabs is a Dublin-based green taxi company who has created a win-win situation for all. A mobile billboard for the vehicle sponsor on a vehicle that will likely attract much more attention, positive at that, than one of those trucks driving around city streets with billboards in tow, which personally to me is one of the most just disgusting things that I've ever seen. And we see them in Sydney here. And at least some of the trucks have been replaced actually like by smaller motorcycles with smaller trailers. I mean, the idea of sitting there driving around a truck just to drive a billboard around to make traffic worse is just got to be one of the most stupid fucking concepts I've ever seen. It shows business. Any business that would advertise like that obviously has absolutely no concern or any idea about how bad the combination of climate change, reducing oil supplies, all this stuff affects the regular person. And yet they're able to go and pay to drive an empty vehicle around, wasting huge amounts of money, energy, fuel, polluting for, like, pantyhose or Coca-Cola or some other shit that you don't necessarily need. There's plenty of good static billboards. I think something like that should, you know, should be just made fucking illegal. But anyway, riders get a safe, free ride home, or if they like, a tour around central Dublin. For everybody, they get reduced emissions in this often congested city and reduced noise that would otherwise come from a typical taxi cab. For sponsors, they do more than just coat their vehicle in branding. For example, EcoCab's drivers tell the passengers about the product or event that is related to the sponsor. Give coupons and samples to passengers who doesn't like to save money and get freebies, and serve different areas of town in proximity to the sponsor's business. From the sounds of this article, it appears EcoCabs is expanding both in country and internationally. Time to get on board? I reckon it's a really good idea. You know, free cab, and, you know, as long as the pitch isn't too naff, I could cope with it, you know. Here's a free can of 7-Up. You know, I mean, it's clever. But hey, it's a real win-win kind of situation. I think it's a groovy thing. They look great. I like the idea that they're power assisted. Yeah, it's a cool thing. You can probably get like 3 people in the back of those things. So, you know, I mean, and this is just being really, really clever about a whole bunch of things. Advertising, transportation, congestion, noise. It's great. It's awesome. Just kind of, you know, what can you complain about? And unfortunately, it didn't work on Bob's end. I don't know if maybe the ABC is now doing country, you know, by country media blocks now. They didn't used to, I didn't think. But I was hoping to actually have Bob be able to play the Clark and Daw thing that I mentioned in the horn section, where it's interviewer and then one of these ratings guys from the financial ratings companies. And Bob said even, you know, you like read the script, he's going, geez, the script reads great. But I wouldn't be able to do it justice reading it on air. I really wanted to have those guys on there. But anyway, I'll see if maybe I can dig that up, because I still think it makes a great point for, I'll get it and get the audio and send it off to Bob. Maybe we'll play it on the horn section next week. And the guys are great. And if you want to, you can probably just go search Clark and Daw at YouTube, and I bet you'll find plenty of their bits. Just really, and if you find any of the ones where they were reporting from Beijing and where they simulate the smog, where the, you know, the guy's on remote and you can't even see his face for the white fuzz, it was just hysterical. making great fun of all the international broadcasters, you know. Here we are in Beijing, if you can see us. Back there is the bird's nest in the pea soup. I can't see it. And then there's that building that looks like a dragon's head, and rumor has it that Bill Gates has the penthouse up there. Why the hell, you know, nice view when you can see it? This is madness. It's just madness. So I'm being asked for a link in the chat room, which I will do. And anyway, I'm going to keep an eye, and I know Gail's probably got this locked in her brain now. We'll probably get some more information and follow up on this agrobacterium thing. I just find this, you know, it's, again, you know, those that were called, you know, screaming that the sky is fine, look, they're just losing their little liberal minds. No! There are real concerns because we didn't know. See what happens when you assume it made a genetically modified ass out of you and me. Jeez. Unreal. I keep, you know, acrobacterium. Ugh. Just the name freaks me out. What is this that I'm seeing it? Oh, okay. It's one of those headlines. The Huffington Post that said, it's Mitt! But actually, it's just one of more speculation on who McCain's running mate's going to be. Mitt Romney? Mr. Olive Oil Hair Man. All right, we're going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks for being with us this week. It's been great finally getting, you know, 3 days of shows in a row. Oh, my. Well, the miracles never cease. Look, we're going to try and do this again next week and get and continue to be back into a normal frame of mind and a normal kind of mode of operation. So thanks for being with us all week, folks. Thanks to Bob Kincaid for producing. Thanks to Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives. We'd be absolutely screwed without him. Thanks to Scott Barry at B1 Ladder Productions for the music, and our good friends at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and Coal River Wind.